Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Even when winds blow and storms swirl, let us come to him and worship like the shepherds. Even when we find ourselves in the darkness or the storms, the Prince of Peace is with us. Christ has come to help us discover peace. He has come to change our world and us forever. May the Lord use this season to draw you and your family closer to him, that you may know his presence and hear his voice.
Today we light the candle of peace.
As we prepare for the coming of Jesus, we remember that Jesus is our hope and our peace. From the prophet Isaiah, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace."
Let's pray. Faithful God, give us your peace that passes all understanding. Help us embody your peace and live as peacemakers, that we may be called children of God. Grant that we may find peace as we prepare for our Lord's birth. May divisions in our lives and in our families be peacefully resolved. May there be peace in our cities and in the countries of our world. Lord, let us remember that you only are the giver of lasting peace and that you are always with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Christmas is kind of a big deal, isn't it? And it's not just here, it's all around the globe. In fact, some of the ways people celebrate Christmas around the globe are quite interesting. Did you know that in Venezuela, it's customary to take roller skates to the Christmas service? It's so widespread, they shut down the streets just for the roller skaters. No vehicles allowed during that time. Or in Sweden, there's this decoration, this customary Swedish Christmas decoration called the Yule Goat. The Yule Goat. It's a straw goat that's like 40 feet high. Needless to say, they're also the target of much vandalism in Sweden. So it's not uncommon to see one of these 40-foot Yule goats ablaze. In Guatemala, they spend the week before Christmas cleaning their houses. In the Ukraine, they have Christmas trees, but they decorate them with spider webs. The spider webs. And for many Japanese, the traditional Christmas dinner is eating at KFC. It is so widespread and prevalent that in Japan, on Christmas Day, you can't just walk into a KFC. You actually make a reservation for your Christmas dinner at Kentucky Fried Chicken. And finally, in Finland, there is this great tradition that happens every year since the 1300s. It's called the Declaration of Peace. The Declaration of Peace. So every year at noon, starting on Christmas Eve, the proclamation is read. It's read from the balcony of this historic mansion in the city center in the town of Turku. This is broadcast on television, on radio, of course, live stream, and it mandates that everyone be peaceful for a day and a half. It's at noon on Christmas Eve. For the remainder of Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day, don't break the peace or else you will be severely punished. So here's what the proclamation says. "Thus is declared a peaceful Christmas time to all, by advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully, because he who breaks this peace and violates the peace of Christmas shall be guilty and punished according to what the law and statutes prescribe. Finally, a joyous Christmas is wished to all." I think that's hilarious. The Christmas peace. You better not mess with the Finns' declaration of silence and quietness, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. But I think what a great way to honor the birth of our Lord Jesus and the peace that he has brought about. Christ's coming means peace for you and I. And that's what they're declaring, and that's what we have to declare together today. So this morning, we're going to be encouraged with this good news. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. In fact, Jesus says very clearly in John 14 and verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Christ's birth means that we can discover peace, even amidst the storms and turmoil of life. And that's just what we're going to talk about together this morning. Let me introduce myself. My name is John. I serve as lead pastor. I am just thrilled that each and every one of you is here this morning. I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow stronger in the Lord. So this is the second week of our Christmas series called Rediscover Christmas. And the subtitle is Good News for Troubling Times. What a joy it is to proclaim good news. So what we're doing this Christmas is each week we're focusing on a different reality of God sending his son Jesus. Hope, peace, joy, and love. And we're really taking a look at different characters in the Christmas story, the biblical Christmas story, to help us understand those realities and how they encountered the arrival of Christ the Messiah. So for this morning, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, considering the shepherds. So if you have a Bible with you, I would encourage you to open it up to Luke chapter 2. Shepherds would have been pretty unlikely recipients of God's announcement of peace, because their way of life was one that was rough and gruff, and was not uncommon for them to be engaged in fighting and brawls and some violence. So we're going to read about, really, the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. This beautiful passage. I think in so many ways it's what we need to get back to in this Christmas season. It's what we need to get back to. Like if you're familiar with Charlie Brown's Christmas, you know, Linus recites Luke chapter 2 and then says, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. I think he was right on that. So we're going to start in verse 8. We're in Luke chapter 2. And there were who living out in the fields nearby? Try it again. There were who living in fields nearby? Yep, shepherds. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace. Peace to those on whom his favor rests. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So I want to consider this passage this morning, particularly looking at the shepherds, like their response to this awe-inspiring, jaw-dropping scene in the middle of a otherwise pretty sleepy Bethlehem night on the pasture. Like, heaven breaks open. Angels descend. And like I mentioned last week, the typical response that we see in most of the characters in the Christmas story is fear and terror and dread. Like, oh my goodness, what is happening right now? And so the shepherds are no different. They are petrified at this sight. And really, guys, I think it's hard for us to even imagine how magnificent, how glorious, how bright these encounters with angels must have been. Like, completely overwhelming. The sight of it, not to mention the sound. Like, he brings with him this heavenly chorus who burst into Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I mean, like it must have been completely awe-inspiring and overwhelming. In fact, there's part of me that when I read that, I go, I just can't wait to get to heaven and join in. And join in the heavenly chorus. So for these shepherds that this amazing good news comes, this historic event, the inbreaking of God's reign, the promise of God's Messiah, these guys weren't notable. They weren't rich, they weren't famous, they weren't powerful, they were ordinary. They were just plain old night shift working animal caretakers. But isn't that just God's way? That God so often uses the things that are humble and lowly and ordinary for his extraordinary purposes. Jesus came to a family born to a humble carpenter, born to a peasant girl, born in a manger, surrounded by sheep. By the way, did you know they make dentures for sheep? They're called lamb chops. Jesus is born into this situation that's not regal, it's not notable, it's not lavish. He's surrounded by sheep. But sheep really do have a special place and meaning for the people of God. The Passover lamb, right? That creature that was sacrificed during the most important holiday. The blood of that lamb was really the atonement for a person's sins. Like, there was a cost that had to be paid. If you want to be in right standing with God, there must be the shedding of blood, the slaughter of an innocent lamb, a perfect lamb, spotless, no defect. Of course, when they celebrated the Passover, it was a reminder to them about how God had rescued them from slavery in Egypt, because they were in desperate need of rescue and help. Couldn't do it on their own, but God was able to deliver them. And so here we have the Lord sending another lamb in Jesus to take away the sin of the world. Maybe that's why God chose to send this angel with the announcement to the shepherds. Because they know lambs. They know sheep. And Jesus entered into our world as the ultimate sacrifice. That as he would then go to the cross and shed his blood, he paid the price for our sins. And his death meant payment for sins once and for all. Not over and over, not repeatedly, but one time. And then, of course, through his resurrection, he lives forevermore. And Jesus then, having paid the price for the sin of all humanity, invites each one to trust him, to choose him as Lord and Savior. And when we do that, we're fully restored in our relationship to God, the Heavenly Father. We have this eternal hope of being spent with him in glory. As I just said, listening to the heavenly chorus. Not just listening, joining in the heavenly chorus as we sing his praises for all eternity. Listen, here's the good news. Because of Jesus, we can have peace. And peace comes even in the midst of our storm. You know, when a hurricane hits or a tornado, there's an eye of the storm, right? It's in the direct center. It's got destruction and mayhem encircling it. But in the eye of the storm, there is stillness, there is calm, there is peace. People say it's eerie. When you've had that experience, it's like, it's really odd. Because how could you possibly be still and be calm when everything around you is being destroyed and ripped apart? And I think that's a picture of life in Christ. Like, how can I remain so rooted when there's so much upheaval around me? In fact, you may be familiar with a Christian song from Ryan Stevenson. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. Or do you remember the time that Jesus was in the boat with his disciples and he's taking a nap? Like, these guys think, this is it. We're done. This is our last day on earth. We are surely going to perish from this storm. Wait a minute. Jesus is sleeping. We read about this in the Gospels, of course. Matthew 8:24 says, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. And I don't need to tell you that Christmas time is a crazy season, filled with chaos, filled with busyness. It's frantic. It can be overwhelming. I think if we're honest, life is really like that year-round, though. I think if we're really honest, we often point to the Christmas season because it is busy, because it is crazy, but the truth is our lives are pretty chaotic and busy and hectic year-round. We spread ourselves too thin. We operate with so very little a margin, and it's like when you're just running on fumes, no wonder you snap at people. No wonder you find yourself being grumpy with the people you love the most. No wonder you have some conflict and arguments and misunderstandings. Or you just feel like something's going to blow. I gotta somehow let off a little steam because of the pressure. And maybe it's at school and activities. Maybe it's at work. Or maybe it's those unexpected catastrophes that happen when that loved one gets the illness, when that major appliance breaks down, and you realize, I'm overwhelmed. I think all these things rob us of peace. So I'm encouraging each and every one of us this morning to embrace Jesus as the Prince of Peace for this Christmas season, but also for the rest of the year. And maybe now's a great time as we have 2025 on the horizon. What will next year look like for you? I think sometimes we even hit this season and we're so cynical. Like, we hear about love, joy, peace, hope. And our response is really, well, wouldn't that be nice? Like, that's sort of a nice Christmas wish, isn't it? Like, we all put that on our Christmas cards to one another, don't we? Love, joy, peace, and hope this Christmas. But I think some of us are a little cynical there. It's like, well, that's a nice sentiment for the holidays. That's a nice little tagline to put on my Christmas card. But if you really look at my heart and my life and my mind, it's anything but. It's anything but peaceful. And so maybe that's where you find yourself today. And I just want to encourage each and every one of us again with this truth from the Scripture. And I hope you're working on committing it to memory. That Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That when he shows up, those storms that happen in our lives, and they are inevitable, he will hold us like we're in the eye of the storm. I think it's sometimes when things seem the hardest, when life gets the darkest and most unbearable, that God shows up. That's certainly what happens in the Christmas story, isn't it? Like, why did God in all of human history decide to insert Jesus, the Messiah, at a time when his people, the Jews, were suffering from Roman oppression in the first century? Right? They're living in a time of tyranny and suffering. I think it's in our times of struggle that God shows up the most. Emmanuel, we sang about that this morning. He is God with us in our pain, in our darkness, in our suffering, in our chaos. He is with us. And what does he do? But he brings us peace. So yes, he brings us peace even in the midst of our storms. And that peace guards our hearts. What good news. Again, the peace of God doesn't mean you won't have those times of chaos and difficulty. It doesn't mean the absence of conflict for any of us. It means that you have peace when you're in Christ. You have peace that defies your circumstances. a peace that defies your circumstances. You are protected. And again, no matter what you're going through, God is with you, rooting you, grounding you, holding you, giving you peace. And like, this doesn't always make sense. It doesn't always make sense to those around us, but even for ourselves, it doesn't always make sense. I don't know why I'm not freaking out about this, but I just have this way of trusting that God's in control. And when you've experienced that, not just heard a nice little sermon about it, when you've experienced that, you know it's real. Like, it's one thing to just sort of give intellectual assent to, isn't that nice? One of the names of God, one of the names of Christ is the Prince of Peace, but it's a different experience when you walk through something that you should be freaking out about, that you freaked out about in the past, that others would expect you to freak out about, and you're not freaking out. And you go, I understood, I claimed that Jesus was my Prince of Peace. Now I know it. Like, I've experienced it, I've lived it, I've embraced it. I am safe, I am secure, I am walking confidently in Christ. And in that place of peace, like, God guards your heart from growing angry and bitter and cynical and even downcast, even just moping around like we do when life gets really difficult. It protects our mind from the onslaught of anxiety. I mean, that, especially the next generations. The rates of anxiety, depression, crippling, debilitating fear. So here's what Paul says in Philippians 4. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you missed it, he'll say it again. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. He says, let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is what? So we're in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5. Paul says, the Lord is near. Emmanuel, God with us. So he says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What good news! That we are protected. We are guarded by this peace that passes understanding. So that when the times of chaos come, we stand firm. We stand fast. And let me just encourage you today, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're walking through, you can turn to the Lord. He is near. He hears you. He sees you. He cares for you. You can bring your chaos to him. You can bring your anxiety to him. Those things that you're like, I'm not sure I can do this. I'm not sure I can handle this. He wants you to bring that to him in prayer. And yes, with gratitude. To focus on the things that God has given you and blessed you with. And he will give you this peace that passes understanding. Because here's the truth. And probably the best thing we can say as we talk about peace this Christmas. Peace is a person. Peace is a person. It's Jesus. It all comes back to Christ. In fact, Paul says this really clearly in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, where he says of the Lord Jesus, for he himself is our peace. Peace is a person, Jesus Christ. Without Jesus, you will never know peace. It's like St. Augustine said, we all have this God-shaped hole inside of us. Nothing can fill it except Christ. You will never be complete. You will never be whole until you say yes to the Lord Jesus Christ and invite him in to be your Savior, your Master, your Lord. You invite Jesus into that space. No Jesus, no peace. Remember that slogan? It's N-O-N-O, and it's also K-N-O-W, K-N-O-W. No Jesus, no peace. And that requires, my friends, that we humble ourselves, that we turn from our sin. Like, we've all messed up, and in so doing, separated ourselves from God. So we confess our sin and our wrongs. We put our faith in him. We believe Jesus is indeed the Son of God. And he fills us with peace. In fact, you can make that choice today. Our prayer team will be available in the front after the service. Our elder board and myself will be around the church building. We would love to meet with you, pray with you, go with you before God's throne of grace to lay down your life and to say, I want that peace in my life. I don't have it, and I'm missing it, and I want to fill that God-shaped hole that only Christ can fill. It would just be a joy to pray with you today and lead you to that place. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We learned that from our Bible memory verse for this month, right? Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the verse that follows says, of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and withholding, upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. It is a lasting, enduring peace in eternity with him. It's the peaceable kingdom where the lion lies down with the lamb, where the child plays with the viper. It is a lasting, enduring peace. And I pray this Christmas that you would find peace in Christ. It wouldn't just be for now, it would be for all time, year round. And yes, even when the winds blow, when the storms come, when life throws you that curveball that you weren't expecting, I pray that you would know Jesus is the Prince of Peace and have that peace that passes understanding, that you would remain faithful to him, that you would come to him, just like the shepherds did. You see that in their response? They went to Jesus. Even when you find yourself in the storm, come to him. Come to the Prince of Peace, to Emmanuel. He is God with us. Jesus invites us in Matthew 11:28, saying, come to me. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hey, does anyone else think that this is a message that the world needs to hear? Maybe by show of hand. Anybody else think that this is a message that your coworkers and your neighbors and your friends and your schoolmates and your relatives and your aunts and uncles need to hear in our community, in our nation, around the globe? That Jesus invites each and every person into loving relationship with him. When you know Jesus, everything changes. You'll never be the same. And I hope the people in your life notice that. Like, man, you would have freaked out about this. What's going on? They're like, well, I trust Jesus and he's got it under control. This is a message the world desperately needs to hear. In fact, I would tell you this morning, I think the world is aching for peace. Longing for peace, needing that rest for their souls, with these minds that are jumbled and anxiety ridden. And we all see the brokenness in the world around us. The people that need Jesus, they see the brokenness too, guys. Why do you think it's so common for people when you say, if you were granted a wish or three wishes, what would you choose? And they say, world peace. You wish for world peace? Because they're aching for it. Because they see the brokenness. And what they really need, what they need the most, is peace with the Lord. They need that reconciliation between them and their Maker. Because when we're in our sin, we're enemies of God. We're distanced from Him. But because of Jesus, we can have peace with God. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, Paul says in Colossians 1:21. But now he has reconciled you by Christ. So going back to Luke chapter 2, did you notice what was it that the shepherds did after they had encountered Christ? You got your Bible still open? Look at verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word. So when I say this morning, we should have peace and we should be like the shepherds, that's not just for you. That's not just to go home this afternoon and say, I feel really good because I have peace. That is to wrestle with this holy discontent that says, I have peace no matter what happens in my life. But I need to share it with people who don't have it. When they had seen him, they spread the word. This is our mission. We are to go out. We are to go forth as heralds, proclaiming the good news of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. We say it together every single Sunday to share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. That's what we're all about. And each and every morning when we get up and we get dressed and hopefully spiritually we put on the armor of God, doesn't that include the sandals? Do you remember what the sandals are for? Paul says we are to go out with our feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. That's in Ephesians chapter 6. Feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So let's get ready. Let's get ready to share this peace with a world that so desperately needs it. We need peace in our own lives, right? In our minds and in our hearts. We need peace with one another as we reconcile our disagreements and our misunderstandings. But most importantly, we need peace with Almighty God. To be forgiven of our sins, to be restored back to relationship with Him, our good and loving Heavenly Father. This is a message the world needs to hear. So let's share it. Let's share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who proclaim salvation. Let's pray together. Oh, good and gracious God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have to gather in this place as brothers and sisters in Christ, to study your word and, Lord, to listen to you. Because, Lord, we long to walk in obedience to you and all you have for us. We choose you as Lord. You are master. Lord, would you help us, each one, to carry out the mission that you've given us. Lord, I know this week you're going to send us into schools, into workplaces, into neighborhoods, into family situations. Lord, we want to go feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, proclaiming this good news in all the places we go. Lord, we pray that you would help us to do that. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, the God who is with us. So that when life rages, when the storm is encircling us, when there's destruction all around, it's like we're in the eye of the storm, held by you, our good and loving Heavenly Father. How grateful we are, Lord, for the ways that you care for us, your people. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We thank you for your endless love for us that you've shown through your Son, Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross and through his triumphant resurrection, and how we eagerly await his sure return when we will spend eternity with you. Come, Lord Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Lord, we fix our eyes on you with grateful hearts for who you are and for what you've done, with hope for tomorrow. And we thank you for Christmas time, this beautiful season, Lord, that reminds us of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray all these things. Amen.